to the of the early 30s. You know, this is when the graphic, all the New York tabs were going good, and they were copying them. Then they went broke. The Mirror, which was the Chicago Tribune people, money, bought it, and they brought in Chicago reporters, but mostly N.N. Hearst editors, all of front page type. And I think every one of the reporters managed to get a deputy sheriff's badge or a Detroit police badge as soon as he got here. So you weren't competing with newspapermen. There was cops that would, you know, that people let in, not you. They did everything that was, that we just didn't. We worked awfully hard against each other, but we weren't vile that way. The confidence to them was page one. And they lasted a year or two and lost $1 million and went out of business. But of course, they were the rough year that the hell of a time to start a newspaper or anything else in Detroit because it was during the Depression. But they would have the damnest, wildest stories. They'd start with a fact. You know, John Doe was murdered. Well, okay, so John Doe was murdered. Then they take off in the flights of fancy with crazy art, pictures that were just your loss from then on. And there'd be no resemblance between their stories and ours. But it was exciting because they were doing such mad things. But it was the Chicago-type journalism.
I guess all this era kind of came to a head when during the recall of Bulls, would you say?
Well, that was, you see that Jerry Buckley was murdered that night.
They were just a week apart, as I recall.
The recall?
Yeah.
No, pardon me, unless I've taken leave of my senses, Bill. The votes were counted, say, at 8 or 9 o'clock at night. We were all through work. And at 1 o'clock the following morning, Buckley was murdered.
Right.
So it was the same, within the same 24-hour period.
Now, following the Bulls recall, then, what was the situation in the city then? Who was it?
Frank Murphy.
Frank Murphy. Now, of course, Frank was...
Frank was the Times
Christ Child, yeah. Right.
He was recorders. See, the Times is a new paper, and they were looking around for some bright young man to they pull him up, and he'd pull him up too. You know, it's a mutual thing. So they found this red-headed Irishman who believed that there's a halo over his head, and in the district attorney, federal district attorney's office as an assistant. And they brought him along, made him recorder's judge, judge recorder's court, and got him the sweet trial, Clarence Darrow and everything. And made the guy, and then elected him mayor.
How was the news reacting to all this?
The news pouted about a good bit of it. As I recall it, and I think this is a general impression, Bill, I don't think that the news took Murphy seriously at first. And that is when he was like judge, that he'd go any place. When he became mayor, my recollection is that they didn't do an awful lot then because the field wasn't so good. The big fights between the news and the Times, and they were dirty, dirty fights, was over when Johnny Smith would be running. And the Times would back Johnny Smith for mayor. The Times would back Smith, and the news would have somebody else, whoever, but more of a Polish Schwab sort of candidate.
See, where does John Lodge fit in there?
Well, I think they probably probably did lodge. He was marijuana.
Yes, he was marijuana. And I think he lost to Smith in the in the second term. I check it.
But the news they run, you know, both papers I think are guilty of doing things that just wouldn't be countenanced by them. Now, all talking about property that the news interests own that were used for houses of prostitution, the background of Smith's wife, which was Polish, and, you know, it got to a pretty dirty journalistic battle. And I was in school. I wasn't working, but I did work on some straw votes.
Ray, where'd you go to school?
Well, it's a long story. I went to Notre Dame in Michigan, and then I took some courses at then City College.
Oh, I see.
But I was 8 years at Notre Dame, but I was a slow learner. They had boarding school. And
yeah.
I went when I was 11.
Oh, I see. Went through high school.
And then I went through high school. And then I'd been my freshman year, and I'd been there, and, you know, it got to be so that I knew how to not have to do anything at all if I didn't want to. And I thought maybe I ought to change the climate of my. So I went to Michigan. Several of us went together.
I just wanted to get that relationship with it in Detroit.
But I was born in Detroit. But
we were talking about Murphy. Did Murphy then try to clean up the town? Was there a reform fervor?
He appointed Watkins as his police commissioner. John Watkins was the U.S. district attorney. And his brother, his police commissioner. He was a Phi Beta Kappa and from a big law firm, very successful. But no, I'd say that yes and no. There was some effort to make some cleanup of the city, but everybody was so frightened then of a revolution because it was really the depths of the Depression. And this was when we'd had the hunger marches and the marches on the Ford Motor and the big rallies in Grand Circus Park. And the commies, as you know, were very, very active at that time. And so much of the energy and of course, of the police were directed there. And it wasn't any witch hunt. It wasn't that. It was just that the mobs might just tear down the main street that they're afraid of. And then the administration was so busy finding shelter, and this was Joe Goldman was doing it, finding shelter and food for the completely destitute people, made destitute by the Depression, that really a great deal of time and energy were not being spent by the police. Well, for instance, this was during Prohibition, so you had this other law to enforce, you know, in addition to all the others, you had Prohibition. Yet the recorders, judges, in order to justify their existence, they felt they had to reach out and get jurisdiction over civil cases, which he had never had until then. And there was so little work for the courts. Now, it seems to me the police were doing their jobs, but reasonably well. And of course, Halevy, you could bet a horse any place, or even during his administration, it wasn't anything like under the brief tenure of Bowles. Bowles just didn't have a clue as to what a mayor should do, and the gangs really sort of took over then. I seriously doubt that he knew it.
I get the impression the police attitude during this whole period was something like the Big Ten basketball referee who says no harm, no foul.
Count the stitches.
Yeah, right.
I went over to see Jack Manning, some poor black man that Jack Manning likes very much, and he was arrested for having slashed the hell out of somebody during a fight. So I went over to the prosecutor, the assistant, Bill Flanagan. You remember? Hell of a nice guy. I said, Bill, here's the circumstances. This guy got no record. He works hard. He's a good, you know, guy for me. Bill says, how many stitches, Ray? And I said, what do you mean? He says, well, here's how I go. If it's over so-and-so stitches, it's got to be, I get some big number, it's got to be a felony. But if it's under, like, 200 stitches, it's a misdemeanor, so we can just have the thing taken in on a misdemeanor. So maybe that was...
now we're getting close.
Of course, the whole complexion of crime changed, so... you know, you wouldn't have street stick-ups or little store stick-ups or $8 stick-ups because who'd take a chance on it? They'd rob a bank, they wouldn't come out with $700. It'd be $70,000. They'd be professionals. The amateurs weren't in that...
We're getting pretty close, I guess, to the time when Mrs. McDonald wrote her letter, aren't we?
Yes, Janet McDonald.
1939, I think it was.
It was August. The grand jury started September 1939. That's a Ferguson grand jury.
Now, is it... the story at the news is that the news called for that grand jury. Is that true?
Yes, true. The news... I'm pretty sure that Carlisle did the whole thing. He might have had some help. But they got a petition quietly, secretly, because they're going to have a big scoop in the story, to the circuit court, asking for a one-man grand jury. Now, I don't think there'd ever been one before that, because the only grand jury I knew of was that one I covered in the Buckley murder. I was 23. Man. And the news had Ferguson picked out, no, O'Hara picked out. And they were going to use it, going to break the story on Sunday. And I was working Saturday, and I got a phone call from a guy in the county building. Said, Jesus Christ, get your pencil. I said, thank you very much. So he just saved our lives. I mean, in that we had the story. The news did. It was there. I would say it was our grand jury. They got it going. You see, McRae could have had that grand jury himself, but he poo-pooed it because he was sure that nobody would ever tell on him. Yeah. And he could have controlled the thing, his prosecutor. But the news, yeah, they did. They got it, and they got the people appointed. But from then on, it was, we had something happen that in that grand jury that should happen in all grand juries. I mean, 100 things happened that should never happen because the Bill of Rights, the Constitution was just thrown out the window. It was, nobody had any rights at all. And it was pretty bad, but... And I don't think the end ever justifies means like those. Although, the city was corrupt as hell. Any newsboy in the corner could tell you what day, what collector went to this handbook, that handbook, and so on. You know, the whole, it was really bad. And they had I suppose they couldn't have gotten all the results by using kid gloves. But, what they did, the newspaper, we all covered the grand jury and we were there and we knew pretty well what was going on. Now, we didn't know everything everybody said, but we knew pretty well. McCormick, Carlisle, McCormick, and I, and Freddie Collins on occasions. But we would not tell our editor or a living soul. And not one word of what that grand jury did ever got in the newspaper, nor was any mention of it made in any way. unless they did something official, like put somebody in jail or issue indictments or, you know, take some action like that. And this, of course, the others is why I objected to Biggins so much when he was getting the police rotten and underhanded way he was doing. He was just wrecking that department and coming up with nothing. And so many grand jurors, since they feel two things. One, it goes to their ego. And two, I think they feel they've got to come up with something, whether it's there or not. But we never printed anything. Ferguson went around to the papers and exacted that agreement.
Ray, when did you start working in 1927?
In Pontiac. No.
In Pontiac.
I went to Pontiac in 26.
When is